We're joined on the line this morning by Lawrence Burns. He has been in the car auto industry for many years, served as a corporate vice president of research, development, and planning at General Motors, where he oversaw GM's advanced technology and innovation programs. Also, he served as an advisor to the Google self-driving car project, now called Waymo. And he's written a book called Autonomy, The Quest to Build the Driverless Car. And Larry joins us this morning. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. So who was the first person to think, hey, these cars could drive themselves? When did that sort of seed get planted in the auto industry?
Well, the seed actually was planted in the series of races that took place, sponsored by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, in the 2004 to 2007 time frame. 2007, General Motors sponsored Carnegie Mellon University, and we won that race. It was a $2 million prize, and that's really what kick-started this. But that happened right in that time frame when the auto industry was in its darkest hour with the recession setting in, and it was companies like Google and Tesla and Uber that really planted their seeds for new technology and transportation that bring about the changes that we're talking about in autonomy. It's this convergence of autonomous vehicles with electric vehicles and transportation services as opposed to owning a car that's bringing about this change.
It seems that there's also sort of this technological grid that makes this possible, right, with sort of GPS, satellites, all that kind of mapping that's gone on, true?
Yeah, that's what's so exciting about it is you don't really need to spend a lot on what's typically called roadway infrastructure. You can do this with the satellites, the communications technology, GPS, sensors on your car, lasers and radars and cameras and onboard computing capacity. Essentially, the autonomous car does what you do when you drive. You're making two decisions over and over again. How fast should I go and which way should I steer? And that's what this robotic car does, but it does it much more precisely and much better than what any human can do because it's paying attention all the time. It's got eagle-eye vision with eyes in the back of its head, takes in all this information, and then makes those driving decisions like you would.
And it doesn't have the emotion that sometimes comes while you're driving, right?
Absolutely. I think this whole thing of road rage, I don't think we're going to see the robots doing that. What's so important here is 90% of the car crashes are caused by human error. There's 1.3 million people a year dying on the world's roadway, so that's epidemic in scale. If we can get to this full potential, eliminate those 90% of the crashes due to humans, we're going to save about 1 million lives a year, and that's about 3,000 a day. So if we can get to this end goal one day sooner, we save 3,000 lives. My view is the biggest risk here is not getting to this potential as soon as we can.
Lawrence, what do you say to people who are, set in their ways and they want control of their own car and their own destination? What do you say to those people?
Well, we're certainly going to give you control of your own destination. You're going to hit an app and a vehicle is going to show up. That vehicle, by the way, can be your dedicated use vehicle. No one is telling you you can't have one of these of your own. You probably won't want to buy it. You'll probably want to lease it and have a subscription service standing behind it because you're not going to want to have to stop to refuel your car. You're not going to want to have to look for parking. You're going to want to be dropped off at your door, and you're not going to want to spend your time tethered to that steering wheel. So you're going to have control over your life, even more control. It's going to enable great, great freedom, much better experience than what we have in owning and operating the car today at lower cost. And, if you like driving, more power to you. If you like stopping to buy gas, more power to you. If you like looking for parking, that's great, too. When we bring this forward, we're going to be providing new options for a lot of other people. Many people who don't like to drive, can't afford a car, those kinds of opportunities.
You've written the book Autonomy, The Quest to Build the Driverless Car. What are some of the stories in this book that are part of that quest that really interest you?
Well, there's some really exciting moments. I can remember early on when we were doing our development work with Carnegie Mellon, I went out to Pittsburgh, being the sponsor of that program, and I asked the team if I could ride in the car, and I didn't realize that they had been focusing on a car that could accelerate really fast. It was a Chevy Tahoe, and brake really hard and corner hard because this was a race, and they wanted to save that time, so I piled into the car. There was just a little bit of space for me to get in there, and I got car sick within about 30 seconds, and the whole team of engineers were out there laughing because they knew what I was going to get into. There were some dramatic moments during the races in the deserts where the cars rolled over and things. But I think probably the most profound thing that happened was after the race, the leader of DARPA said, mission accomplished. It's up to the commercial sector to get on with this. And it wasn't an auto company that stepped up and said, we're going to do it. It was Google. As Larry Page and Sergey Brin said, they believe this was possible, and they put a team together and really kick-started this drive toward commercialization. And I think that was a really important moment.
What are the biggest obstacles? Is it our own fears? Is it government involvement, you know, laws that will be passed? Is it other industries that don't want this to happen? What do you see for that?
I think it's the latter. I think when people have a chance to ride in these vehicles, I get to do that fairly regularly, you quickly become comfortable and confident. So far, the government's been very helpful. They haven't put any barriers in place that prevent us from learning on public roads, which is essential to perfecting the technology. The fact is, there's a lot of people who have a vested interest in this 130-year-old roadway transportation system. You know, the oil industry, the insurance industry, people who drive for a living. And I certainly understand if this technology was going to take my job away, I would be concerned about it. So I think it's that last point you made. It's going to be the pushback from these people with vested interests and how we've been doing things for over a century. I believe, and the book Autonomy makes this clear, that the benefits are going to be so compelling that a lot of people are going to want to get on with this future. We wrote the book to provide this common understanding to mainstream readers, and hopefully that'll create this collective will to get there sooner rather than later.
Lawrence, you mentioned how this technology has been developed and researched over a number of years already. Do you have an estimate when you think it might be mainstream?
Well, certainly it's being used right now in Chandler, Arizona on a very small scale. I think we could be mainstream. Let's say mainstream is defined by 10% of the miles that Americans travel. You know, we drive 3 trillion miles, so that would be 300 billion miles. So if you're thinking mainstream is 10%, now that's not everybody getting it. We could be there by 2025. I think we should be there because the benefits are compelling. Will we be there by 2025? I think it's going to depend on that earlier question and the pushback of the people with vested interest. But certainly, this is something that's happening a lot faster than most people realize and most people anticipated.
Well, we appreciate your time this morning sharing the insight into this. Autonomy, The Quest to Build the Driverless Car is the name of the book. Our guest, Lawrence Burns, joining us this morning. Thanks for all the insight, and it's a very fascinating story. We look forward to seeing how this all turns out. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on your show.